just like, I don't know if my patient is showing up because it's like they could have gotten taken by the state. And kind of like the way that you work it with people when they're going through such intimate, destructive things, it's just really, I don't know, it feels like you feel very small, but then also in a way you feel like you can make an impact. But also it's just something where in other ways it's like something where I think I'm a communist first. So it's just something where working with people that have this very complicated relationships to the state, I'm just always like, yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I am never on the side of the state. So
I hear what you're saying about intimacy, and I connect that to the question that was asked earlier about whether, people who don't feel anything can write poems. And so I feel
Do you want me to talk about intimacy? Or,
no,
sorry, I didn't know if that was leading into the question.
that was just an observation on my part.
Ah,
Okay.
okay.
But I appreciate the intimacy, making kind of a guest appearance in the talk.
Yeah.
It changes. Like sometimes I write every day, sometimes I write few times in a month. And then how I get my inspiration, it's something where it's usually I don't know, it's weird because it's like before I was a poet, I was just interested in things that were happening politically in the world. So that's usually where I get my information, or get inspiration. I get my inspiration a lot now, getting older, from my family, because it's just it's weird where it's I think you go through this kind of phase where you kind of I don't know, your family is kind of this question mark, and then you kind of start to discover new things about your family where you're like, oh, you do that, or you do this or something. Or maybe that's me just being psychoanalytical, I don't know. But I just find that fascinating, discovering new things about things that I had assumptions about. And also my friends and I don't know. Yeah, different things like that.
You mentioned that you were 23 when you started writing this. How does it feel to be so young and to be published? And what advice do you have for young writers?
Well, it was something where it's like I wasn't published. It's like people that are definitely unpublished, but it was definitely something where I wasn't talking like a six-figure book deal. I mean, that would be crazy. But that's not really what I wanted or something that I desired. But it was something that I was like, oh wow, this is really cool, because I never. It was really surprising because I didn't really think I would publish poetry ever, because I was like, I want to write theory. That's what I want to do. But yeah, publishing at 23 is it was cool and it was weird and it was fun and it was interesting. And then just I don't know, yeah, being asked to write things or being asked about what I think about my writing is pretty cool. So, and yeah, having the privilege to continue to do that is really cool and I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Maybe a little follow-up on that. I'm just thinking about the line that you said where, at the beginning of the conversation where you said most of the people I know who write poetry identify as communists or anarchists. And back in November when I was in New York, I was on the subway and I took a photo of a guy reading Kropotkin, And I posted it up on Twitter, and within like minutes, Jasmine is there like, that's so and so. And then this guy is, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
But what I'm thinking about is kind of the connection between, you know, East Coast, West Coast, in a sense. Like there's a lot that got catalyzed, you know, a number of years ago now, going back 2011 with, you know, Occupy and so forth in the Bay Area, in Oakland and in New York and so forth. And there are these lines that seem to have gotten stimulated and electrified in a sense between you know, different parts of the country. I'm not just saying it's New York, Bay Area.
Right.
Something in there is both political and poetic. Like the two are, you don't hear arguments so much anymore about, oh, poetry being political or politics doesn't belong there or something like that. You know, where you used to hear that stuff.
Yeah, because it's
and
like,
then you do when you go over to the other MFA program. Because
it's cool now.
You know,
yeah, I mean, I don't think it was cool for a while. I mean, so like with Occupy, like I was young then too. I was like, I'm making a face at my sister. I was like 19 when that happened, and I definitely wasn't. I don't think I was writing poetry. Like, it's just something where the conversation now about politics and like identity and kind of like politically being is just something that's way different now, because that didn't even exist when I was like a teenager or when I was like a young adult. It like didn't exist, where it's kind of watching poetry kind of catch up. Like, I feel like sometimes when I read like poetry that's supposed to be political, it just makes me think of Occupy, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know I was back in 2011. But I think that it's just, yeah, I think that like poets that were like already like politicized, it just kind of like kind of opened the door for people to be able to kind of talk about ideas with people in like kind of a different way than just being like, read this like piece that we wrote, you know. But I mean, like, I think like some of the most interesting like work came out like during that time. Like, I mean, out of the Bay, like you had Escalating Identity, and that was like pretty cool and like something that I, like, it elevated my mind when I was, like, a sophomore in college. I was like, whoa, like, I didn't think about this in this kind of way. So, I don't know. It's just, like, really interesting. Yeah, I think that poets that were already communists and anarchists, like, already had, were already on something. I mean, like, political poetry, like, already existed. It's just that something, things became too kind of polarizing to ignore. It's like, you either are on the side of the state or you're with the people. And I think people were like, oh, I have to pick a side now. And with that kind of, those kind of stakes like being like put down, like that was like something where I think that's to the credit of a lot of people that mobilized during that time. And I think that it was something where, like, poetry was kind of echoing back that kind of thing. Like, people that were already, like, in that kind of mindset that were like, all right, like, I'm going to write, like, the way that I've been writing, and I'm going to, like, be echoing back, like, because it's something that changed, like, a lot of things. I mean, I think before that period, you had a lot of anti-war stuff, and, like, things weren't, like, brought up to, like, stakes like that. And I think that something like Occupy and then like the Trayvon Martin and like Troy Davis and like the Gina Six and all that stuff happened like back to back, like within, I don't know, like 5 years, that it just became too big to ignore. And then you have Ferguson, it was just too big to ignore. And I think that's because I think poetry has now caught on, like, to, like, the bigger mainstream poetry has now caught on to it and been like, oh, wait, like, we have to, you know, appear to be, like, you know, at least a little bit considerate to people, so we're going to use this kind of language now. And I think it is really obfuscating for, like, who's really on your side. Because it's, like, is a big poetry, like, I don't know, corporation really going to be on your side, like, when it comes to, you know, publishing Nazis in magazines with other people? No, they're not on your side. So it's, like, something where no matter how, like, whatever language people try to use with, like, political language, I don't know. I think people can tell when people are faking the funk. So, yeah.
Really? Yeah, you do. Yeah. I'm never convinced that you can tell, that people can tell.
I don't know.
I trust that you can. But I mean, I've actually been really interested in this kind of like this moment in which suddenly like a kind of mainstream, mm-hmm. authenticated, prestige, yes. literary culture has suddenly taken on a political content mm-hmm. that was, you know, kind of like sequestered for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm still just trying to figure out like what's going on there. I don't know.
Right. But it seems like people are kind of like able to be like, that's contradictory, isn't it? Like, at least a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You know? But I mean, yeah, I mean, poetry is slow in general, I think, to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Certainly.
I don't know, Juliana. I'm new to you, so you've been longer.
Doesn't help. You have a question.
Hi. So I was wondering. I don't know. For me, it's always been very difficult. I also write on my phone as well, and I'm constantly going back and looking at what I've written and revising. And I was just wondering, when you find yourself in a place. This is done. This is finished. And it's perfect as is. Like, how do you come to that decision?
I don't know. It's strange. It's like something. I keep saying I don't know a lot because it's just something where it's like I think that writing is something where you just tap into, it may sound very woo, but it is something that you just tap into where it is just something where. I don't know, I think a poem works you, and then, like, once, you know, you feel like, okay, this is as far as I can go with this right now, then it's just something where you're done, you know, where you feel that feeling. It's just, like, some kind of intuition that happens, yeah.
I have a question. Sometimes I feel that, you know, the individuals I want to affect through my writing aren't receiving the message. Mm-hmm. My grandmother, for instance, never read or wrote English.
Mm-hmm.
I write in English. Outside of the academic world, do you feel that that personal someone is, that you're getting through to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when my book came out, it was just, I guess the personal people that I wanted to read it were my sister and my mom, because they're the two people that I interact with the most. And I don't know, both my sister and my mom, like, read a bunch, but I was like, I don't know if they're, like, gonna like this. It's, like, a little wild, but, yeah, they both liked it and both, like, had told me, like, wow, this is, like, really good. Have you thought about doing this? Or maybe you should do this, or I think this could have ended differently, and, like, giving me back, like, good critiques and, like, good, like, I don't know. Yeah, it's just something I'm really happy that they both get it, and I'm lucky, but it's just something where I don't think, yeah, I mean, that's not a given that's going to happen, where your family is going to get what you're writing about. Especially people that you really care about and love. I think it's just a process. I think sometimes it's like, I don't know, it takes like a certain kind of moment for them to get it. Yeah.
Well, second question. How do you feel about people's judgment when it comes down to your writing? Because I've heard many different writers say, like, yeah, I love that shit. Go ahead and talk bad about it. It's great. I love it. Feed my soul. And then I hear people that are like, I don't read any of the tweets. I don't read the Amazon like reviews. Mm-hmm. None of that good stuff. And then people are like, I don't care. It's not on my radar. You know what I mean? So where do you come in that spectrum? Please define it in your most colorful way.
Well, I would say the people that read my work are like the comments that I've heard back. I will say that I don't have any Amazon reviews, and I'm very grateful for that, because that means that all the people that read my book know what's up, because I am all about underground communication. Or, and, like, you know, I think that, yeah, I think the people that read my work are just like, yeah, this is cool. And, like, I'll hear it, like, from another person, like, through three people. They'll be like, oh, so-and-so said that they liked your book, or they read it. And I'll be like, oh, okay, I didn't even know they, like, read poetry or knew who I was. And that was, like, cool. So it's, like, something where, yeah, I think the people that read my work are interested in some kind of conspiratorial secrecy, and I really appreciate that. I do have a, what's that thing called, a Goodreads review thing, and I don't know. It was like one person that I don't like had gave it 3 stars, and I was like, the book wasn't for you anyway, so. So I think, usually I'm just like, the book is for who it is for. And I think, you know, Don't Let Them See Me Like This is like an apt title, because it's like, you know, if it's not for you, don't see me then. Because I'm not trying to see you. That's
so
it.
So word of mouth is big.
Yeah, word of mouth.
Word of mouth and keep it hush.
I mean, that's like kind of that's the affect that I think my book is off. I don't see people talking about it being like, oh my god, this is amazing. It's like, I've just heard from word of mouth. Or it'll like shock me when I see like someone that like writes about my book. Like, my book was featured in The New Yorker, and I've never read The New Yorker ever. But it was like featured on their like little briefly noted book reviews, and I was like, The New Yorker is reading my book. Like, now I'm like, that's some conspiracy thing, because I'm like, somebody's trying to set me up. So that is like, you know. So I think it's like very underground, and I kind of like, if I need to hear about something about my book, I'll hear about it from people that I care about.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Pass the mic over to that half.
That's a good second question if nobody else wants to. Jasmine, as a leftist, if we could switch to politics, if you don't mind, you know, we live in this time, and even in the state, California and San Francisco, where, you know, people think this is the most quote-unquote progressive place, but, you know, a lot of people that live here think the height of altruism is just voting straight Democratic Party every time it's election day. How do you fight the stigmatization of being a leftist? How do you approach conversations with people who maybe aren't familiar with what that means? And I guess just maybe your thoughts on electoralism in general, and maybe where we go from here.
Right. Yeah, I've never believed in electoralism. It's not for me. But it's something where I don't personally feel stigmatized like being like a communist. I'm kind of just like, I'm a communist, and that's what it is. I think that if you have any kind of useful critique of the way capitalism works, and how it really alienates us and destroys lives, then you just have to be, like, either a communist or an anarchist. you know, I don't know, doing right now with you in that space. But I think that it's just something where I think that there's a lot better life beyond this. So it's kind of just something where that's always been my thing with being a leftist, where I just, yeah, I haven't, I don't think I've been stigmatized. It's like something, it's really interesting because I don't think people really are against, like, you know, radical ideas of, like, how the world should change. I think everybody thinks that people are facing, like, mutual immiseration together. And I think people would like a way out of that, or would like to think that there's a way out of it. And would like to be able to exist in a world where they don't have to be demanded to, you know, do things that is dependent on, I have to be able to go out and make money so I can eat, or I can have a place to live, or, you know, things like that. I don't think people really want that. I think people generally are, you know, against that. So it's just something where it's like, it's easy to kind of talk about things like that. And like, yeah, maybe some people will get like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, so you think we shouldn't like vote for like a Republican or something? I don't know. But arguments like that, I'm just like, we've had a two-party system. Well, I guess we didn't in the beginning. But like, we did in the beginning. There were more parties. Shout out to the Whigs, they don't exist anymore. I mean, we have a two-party system right now in, like, the U.S., and it's just something where it's, I think people are really just, I don't know, fed up with that. I don't think people really care about it. I think people are like, yeah, I know, like, this is not actually going to change, like, make changes that will actually affect my life. But it's something, I'm trying to go back to the beginning of your question. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's like somebody that works with like kids, and usually the kids that I work with like have a very complicated relationship to like the neighborhoods that they grow up in, like usually like pretty low income, and they're like, why do I have to deal with all this stuff? Like, I live in New York City and I can't even get on the subway because it costs like too much money, and like my family can't even afford rent. And it's just something like, you know, I think people get like, why do I have to live like this? Like, I don't want to live like this. And I think we've seen, like, people, like, respond to that, respond to, like, kind of, like, all being, like, kind of mutually depressed by what is happening in the world. Like, we've seen that in, like, brief moments, like, with Ferguson and Baltimore. And I think that's, like, kind of the thing that I hold on to when I'm a leftist, because I'm, like, I think people definitely have the autonomy to understand the environment that they're in, usually. And recognize, like, some of the contradictions. It's just something where, coming to that, it just takes time. Yeah.
Maybe one more question? Anybody?
Can I ask it? Can I just, where are you going now? What are you working on now?
No, I'm not really working on anything. I'm working on myself. I think I'm just, like, kind of laying back and just,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to get caught up in the thing where it's like, I wrote a book, now I need to focus on the next big thing. I'm just like, maybe I should just, like, chill for a little bit. I think that's what I'm working on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Yeah, that was lovely.